are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, basketball fans. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On NBA podcast, where we break down the latest and greatest news and info about the NBA. But there's not a lot of news and info going on. It's the heat of the offseason. So my name, Tony East from Locked On Pacers, and David Rommel, who's with me from Locked On Heat, are going to do what we did last week, where we broke down our five most interesting teams from the Eastern Conference, except we're going to do it in the Western Conference today. David was at the Hall of Fame ceremonies this weekend. So, David, first of all, how are you? And are you excited to talk about the Western Conference, which might actually not be as dominant as in years past this year?
Yeah, I'm doing great. As you mentioned, the Springfield Hall of Fame enshrinement was a lot of fun, seeing all those veteran players, seeing everybody excited about the process. It was an interesting experience for me, one that I'll always remember. And got a chance to talk to Chris Bosh, which is always great because he is probably one of my favorite players to have talked to throughout my tenure of covering the Miami Heat. So that was a lot of fun. Other than that, it was great. But as you mentioned, yes, the Western Conference, not quite as dominant, not a lot of teams that necessarily stand out. I think there are certainly a handful of great teams, but in looking at this, we're kind of free of restriction. If you recall from last week's episode, we weren't allowed to cover our own teams, the Heat or Pacers respectively. So we just had to talk about the other 13 teams in the Eastern Conference. Now, no such restrictions, and yet no team that necessarily stands out. It doesn't seem like there's a clear favorite for, oh, this one's going to be much more interesting than the other. That's not to say that there aren't great, interesting teams here, but a lot more challenging, I'd say.
Definitely more challenging. I had two or three that I thought were very easy. And then the last two, I kind of had to think about guys I really like to watch or a situation that I think is more interesting than is being led on by national stories. But let's just jump the gun and do the really obvious and easy one that everyone's going to be talking about for this show. And get it out of the way first, because I guarantee they're on your list. One of the five most interesting teams in the West. And for a reminder, who those didn't last week, we do this as like league pass ranking. So it could be a young player we're excited to watch, a team that could grow into something good, a team that changed a bunch of free agents, maybe changed a coach, something like that. But this one changed a bunch of free agents and has the biggest star name in the NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers. They still have Anthony Davis. They still have LeBron James. They added Russell Westbrook, Rajon Rondo, DeAndre Jordan, Carmelo Anthony, Kent Bazemore, Dwight Howard, Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza, Kendrick Nunn, and Malik Monk. Need I go on? That's a lot of guys, a lot of names. That's a lot of team. David, how interesting is that team to you?
Very. I mean, the obvious question is, how do they all fit? Like the big quote unquote three that they have there. And it's not a knock on Russell Westbrook. I already hear a large swath of fans in Oklahoma City criticizing me. Of course, Washington and Houston as well. He's got fans everywhere he goes. And now he's theoretically back home. So everybody's really excited about the fit there. And I know that on paper, it makes sense to have another ball dominant guard that can create plays for others. So it sounds like it's a great addition, but at the same time, look, this is Russell Westbrook. This isn't Russell Westbrook from 6 or 7 years ago when sheer athleticism, he was able to coast through and he would still be able to dominate games. That's not the version of this player anymore. Now he's more likely to shoot you out of a game than he is shoot you in. And so how that fits alongside LeBron James, who, as I've said many times on this podcast, it's not easy to play alongside him. You know, you have to adjust to him because he is the son of which we all revolve around when it comes to his respective teams. And I think that's the case with the roster and the way it's built up. The fact that he has a longtime friend in Carmelo Anthony that's now on the roster, other veterans like Ariza and others that are joining this team. So many different questions how it's all going to play out. None bigger than Westbrook. How do you feel about this Lakers team?
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people like in my personal life, and I'll get to how this gets to the Lakers in a second, about Kyrie Irving. And this relates to the Lakers, I promise, a lot. And I always say one of Kyrie Irving's best NBA skills is that he was really good at being LeBron's teammate in Cleveland. And that is not a knock on Kyrie Irving at all. That's a very big compliment to Kyrie Irving, because like you just said, being LeBron's teammate is not the easiest, especially if you're a guy who has the ball a lot, and Kyrie was great at it. And other guys haven't been is great at it historically. So Westbrook now handles that task. And in Washington, especially at times down the stretch when he was amazing, he had the ball all the time and the Wizards were good when he did, but it's going to be harder for him to have the ball in the time with a team that has LeBron, that has Anthony Davis, that has other ball handlers who even need the ball. When Rondo's in, he'll have to touch it. Malik Monk and Kendrick Nunn didn't go there to do nothing, right? So they have guys who require the ball. They're very fascinating because if it clicks and they have this, these guys who are really smart and athletic and can whip it around and they've got these lob threats, so their pick and roll game is going to be really dangerous. And they have just enough shooting that I think it could work, that you go, wow, this team has the star power to be like really fantastic, really fantastic. And they also just not enough shooting that I'm like, man, they're like one wing injury away from being really clogging the paint every possession, and it could get kind of ugly, and they're relying on a lot of old guys to jump really high. And then you kind of worry about it. You know, Anthony Davis gets injured a lot. Like there's a lot of upside and a lot of downside to the Lakers. And it is so fascinating.
And look, I mean, maybe you could probably speak to this a lot more, but Frank Vogel, I mean, we're 2 years removed from questioning whether or not he was a head coach at all in the NBA. Obviously he had some lackluster stints in Orlando, and his tenure in Indiana didn't end quite the way it should have. And now, of course, he was able to guide his team to a championship in his first season there, but mostly because you've got Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the roster and you're going through the bubble and everything else that that entails. And now, of course, you know, you've got this whole turned around roster. How does he handle this responsibility? And look, Frank, a very level-headed guy. You talk to him in Indiana. I talked to him in Orlando when I was covering that team there. Obviously, he feels he can handle this challenge, but that's not to say that it isn't difficult to get all these players, to get them on the same page. So as much as it takes a lot of, you know, flexibility to be able to play alongside LeBron, it's going to take Vogel a lot of flexibility to be able to handle all these personalities, all these different players, from a guy like Carmelo that's an aging star to a guy like Rajon Rondo, who's somewhat disgruntled. Obviously, they've worked together before, but just all these new players. So interesting. And, you know, the rest of the West is looking to knock them off the peg there. So I understand that they're not going to have an easy time of it. We can't just automatically pencil them in to the Western Conference Finals, as much as that might seem obvious when they have two top-level talents like AD and LeBron. I like their chances out in the West, but that's not necessarily to say that's an easy path for them to greatness.
Yeah, I hate to be this guy, because there's a lot that could change for them, right? Like they have a very high and low outcome range, but I hate to be this guy, but like if they're healthy, they'll be awesome. And they have a lot of guys who could not be healthy, right? Like sometimes they're really old, right? That's a consequence of having an old team, is they more so than other teams, where this is true for every team, but they more so than other teams, health is a huge factor as well, which is less interesting to talk about, but it's certainly something else that's interesting with that team.
Well, let's move on then. What's your number two team? Because you kicked it off with the Lakers, but I'm curious to see who else is on your list.
This might be the only other team that I'm almost positive is on your list. But now that I say that, they might not be. The Golden State Warriors, are they on your list?
Oh, they absolutely are. Yes, in fact, I've got a tab queued up right now to talk about them. They are maybe a shout out to my regular co-host, Wes Kohlberg, and his team. But at the same time, I think they're just an interesting group. All the injuries, whether or not they come back and get it all together. I'm actually higher on Golden State than most people. At least the way I seem to think of it is, whenever you have Steph Curry there, there's a good chance that you're going to be a pretty successful team. And I think he's motivated. I think there's a good chance that, you know, the Klay comes back to full strength and is able to play the way we expect him to. So I really like this group, and I like the team that they've built together.
Yeah, if Wes is listening, I hope we do his team justice with our discussion of them here. But one, they have Steph, who in the MVP discussion every year, he's healthy in place. That makes them a lock to be at least good. Rejuvenated Draymond with other stars, he could always be good. They have Iguodala back, who really helps the, you know, the vibes of the team. They added two interesting rookies. I really like Moses Moody. Wiseman should take a step forward in year two. And that's like six players I've said, and Klay is back, right? And, you know, he's coming off of two of the most brutal injuries an NBA player can have. So you don't know what Klay Thompson is going to be, but even if he can just be a really great shooter, like really great spot up shooter, that's still a really valuable player to have on a team with guys like Curry and Iguodala and Draymond, who are great decision makers. Added Otto Porter to the mix, similar to Klay, just stand there and shoot. If you make them, you'll add value to this team. Yeah, they have a lot of good upside. I agree with you, they could be really good, but just adding back in a multi-time all-star who can be a great defender, adding in some interesting young guys, the growth of a guy at a key position who's also young on this team, they added some nice wings. They have the potential to improve quite a bit over last year, despite not having a lot of tools to do so. So they had a good offseason to me, and they have a very good and interesting team headed into next year.
Now, they missed out on the playoffs last year. I think it's likely that they make the playoffs this year. Would you agree with that?
I do.
Okay. Are they in the tier of top contending teams in the Western Conference? Because I think that's a huge question for them moving forward, too, is whether or not, I mean, and that's, I think, something Warriors fans are concerned about, is when you look at this roster, and I know a lot of people were expecting, you know, trading picks for Bradley Beal or some other star like that, that didn't play out the way it did. And then now you're looking at this group as it's currently assembled, and you're hoping for the best from Clay and everything else. Draymond had some sort of vindication, I think, with a strong summer with the U.S. team, although that's a very different group. But you expect, you know, again, Steph Curry to come back and be who he has been for the last few seasons of his career. And is this a contending team? Is it a team that's still looking for some sort of an identity? You've got this weird mix of veterans that are on not necessarily the last legs of their career, but are clearly in title seeking mode. And then you're also kind of developing all these young players. Can that mix work for the Warriors? Because I think that's a huge question going into the season.
It absolutely is. And in terms of their playoff prospectus, you know, Utah and Phoenix, given that they have basically similar rosters to last year, I feel like they're the two teams in the West that I can be like, you know what, home court, they make a lot of sense if they're healthy. But then because Murray's hurt and because Kawhi is hurt, right, basically every team 3 through 9, 10, 11 from last year, I could see them finishing in a number of orders, right? Who knows if Denver can hold a 5-game lead over the teams behind them without Murray, the Clippers without Kawhi, and then Dallas, Portland, LA, Memphis, Golden State, San Antonio, the Pels, they were all like kind of close for a long time last season. So if you get it just a little bit better in the offseason, you have a chance to leapfrog a lot of that group. And I think Golden State did. So health barring, they are fascinating to me because they could go up quite a bit in the standings, especially if Steph can maintain that MVP level.
Well, we don't know if the Golden State Warriors will be number one in the Western Conference, but what we do know is that Sweatblock is the number one antiperspirant on Amazon.com. It's a product that we've been telling you about for a few weeks. It's doctor created, doctor recommended. It works for up to 7 days per use. If you have an issue with profuse sweating and you want to do something about it, then let me tell you, Sweatblock is the product for you. You can go to Amazon.com. You can go to Sweatblock.com. You can try it and you can find it in CVS. Look, a friend of mine, he's a teacher. I told you about him last week, but I think it's an incredible story. He was worried about sweating. Look, he's in front of a class. You don't ever want to have to be embarrassed in front of your students. You lose some respect that way. He's got all the confidence in the world now. Why? Because he's been trying Sweatblock. It's been working for him, as you know that it would. He doesn't have to change shirts in the middle of the day. It's just easy to transition. You just go through your whole day. You never have to worry about whether or not you're sweating, whether or not you've got pit stains or anything like that. It can be embarrassing. I understand that it could be a problem for a lot of people, and if you want to do something about it, then Sweatblock is the one for you. Like I said, go to sweatblock.com and enter the code, the promo code Locked On. You get 20% off. Like I said, you can also buy it on Amazon and CVS, or if you go to sweatblock.com and use the promo code Locked On, you get 20% off, but only at sweatblock.com. Today I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more of DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com.
David, outside of those two teams, I had a lot of trouble coming up with my next three. There were a lot of teams that have something that's interesting to me. Continuity, a new free agent, a cool young guy. But picking the top three was hard. I had a lot of these teams really similar. But I think I had one team that was the easiest to decide of those three.
Okay.
And I think is the most likely to be on your list. So I'll do them first.
Go for it.
Is the New Orleans Pelicans.
Ooh.
On your list or no?
Absolutely. They are on my list. Yeah, look, I mean, between trades, new coaching, everything else, it's a fun team. Of course, you've also got star potential there with Zion Williamson. So on any given night, they should be an explosive team that could make a very entertaining watch on, and again, on any nightly basis.
So yes, my number one note when I typed the Pelicans down onto this list just says Zion with an exclamation point.
He's pretty good. He's fun to watch.
Yes. There's no one like him that plays like him. It doesn't really make sense. Like, he just goes through people, not really around people and over people, even though he's huge. It doesn't make sense, and it's awesome to watch, and stopping him around the basket's just impossible. And look, he's going to get better next year. And I think if the Pels, which I, you know, their asset management in free agency was definitely questionable. I don't want to like gas up their free agency, but I will say some of the pieces they got, I like quite a bit and
absolutely
fit way better than the team they had last year. So again, giving up first in the way they did to salary dump guys that they signed last year or to get Devontae Graham, like, yeah, you know, not the greatest use of assets, but Graham will help them a lot. They were not a good shooting team last year. Bledsoe checked out at times last season. Valanciunas is a big upgrade over Steven Adams to me. Garrett Temple and Satoransky are vets that they didn't really have. Trey Murphy looks like he can be a great fit for them. So a lot of their new guys seem like upgrades and in skills that they need. And they fit well around the guy who doesn't play like any basketball player we've maybe ever seen before, who's a stud as a 21-year-old. So I think they could be really fun. I don't know how great they will be, but if the guys fit around Zion well, they could take a huge jump next year. So I'm very interested to see how they turn out next year.
Yeah. I mean, and we haven't even talked about Brandon Ingram yet, but he's poised for another leap. I mean, he's a player that shows all-star potential, and I think he's got all the skills there. And there were some questions about whether or not he might be traded this past offseason. Clearly, they want to continue to build around him and Zion. But I think the Valanciunas pickup is a great addition for them, because I think he's much more complimentary of a guy like Zion Williamson. Part of the problem with Adams is that he can't really stretch the floor. He's in there kind of clogging the paint, and that's really where Williamson is much more effective. So again, a guy like Valanciunas who can stretch it a little bit, he can shoot for the perimeter. He's got some nice touch around the basket too. So he's always been able to make his teams better. He's kind of underrated at this point because he's not a star by any stretch of the imagination, but he was great in Toronto. He was great in Memphis. I think he'll be pretty good in New Orleans too. So I liked his team. But we haven't even talked about the new coaching hire. And while I'm out on other new additions, namely Chris Finch in Minnesota, I think the Willie Green addition in New Orleans feels better. And I know that's not exactly a lot to build on, but I think he's a former player. He's young. He can add a level of energy. He's going to be such a sharp contrast to the old tried and tested ways that did not work from Stan Van Gundy. You know, that was a voice that was drowned out towards the end of his tenure there in New Orleans. It was drowned out in Detroit. It's just the league has passed Stan by, which isn't to say that he was a bad person or a bad coach, but he's just no longer able to connect with players the way he once did. And now you bring in a guy who I think is going to be much more easy for him to establish those kind of connections, get the most out of him. I think he can form a nice long-lasting partnership alongside guys like Williamson and Ingram, and he can maximize their potential, get them to back into the winning ways there, and help them reach the playoffs for the first time in Zion's career.
Yeah, not just a player, but like a pretty recent player. Like within the half decade, Willie Green played the NBA in Orlando. So that bodes well for him connecting well with players, which is something that it seems like every front office prioritizes when it comes to their coaching hires these days. So I think that he can connect with this team pretty well, both from an age and coaching perspective, and help guide them in ways that they weren't before. And you mentioned Brandon Ingram, who amazingly is like the eighth player we mentioned talking about the Pelicans. And Brandon Ingram was an all-star in 2019-20. Okay. And then in 2021, he shot better from two. He shot 1% worse from three. He shot better from the line. He averaged more assists and the same number of points per game. Right. It just, something about Brandon Ingram getting a little bit better on a worse team, he just got forgotten about. And there's a chance that if the Pels are awesome and all this stuff clicks, we'll be like, oh yeah, he's really good. Like, he was the most improved player for a reason. So he's another guy that isn't even on my list of reasons the Pelicans are interesting, that could be a reason they are awesome and fascinating next year.
He just turned 24. Like, there's still a lot of potential.
The guy the Pacers just picked in the lottery, which is crazy to think about.
That is pretty insane.
Okay, you do one on your list now, because I think we might be on divulging paths here, but I don't know.
It's going to sound like I'm playing up to the home crowd here a little bit, but I am very curious to see what happens with the Utah Jazz next season.
Ooh, yeah, Not on my list. Talk to me about the Jazz and why you're excited to watch the Jazz.
Like, I can understand a lot of people kind of dismiss their style, that maybe it's a little anachronistic, although I think they've certainly made incredible changes over the last few years to kind of pick up tempo and just play a unique style that's much more reflective of current NBA standards. At the same time, I think the consistency from this group is going to make them better. I've talked about this recently on another episode of this show, but I think they're poised for making a similar leap to the Milwaukee Bucks from this past season. To me, when you keep a team consistent and together like this, and you just add other pieces, make other changes along the fringes, and then you keep the same coaching staff, you don't give up on some of the key players like Rudy Gobert and others, then all of a sudden you're kind of poised to take a leap. I think they could also fit into that category of almost rans that have historically dotted throughout the NBA landscape, not to mention, you know, like your Indiana Pacers that were right there at the cusp of everything for so long. But now you look at this Utah Jazz team, and I think they're consistent. They're good. They've got a great defensive player in Gobert. They've got different players, different additions that they brought in, like Rudy Gay, I think, is a huge underrated addition. I think he's going to add some flexibility to that front court, even at this point in his tenure. And I think, you know, Donovan Mitchell, his not playing on Team USA, to me, seems like a player who's much more interested in just focusing on individual development, getting better, and carrying his team to the next level. He's also another young player that I think is poised for greatness. And I think that Utah Jazz will be even better this year than they were last year.
That is possible. I want to give the Jazz a little bit of credit. This is going to sound really stupid giving a billionaire credit, but in a small market, they got a new owner who said, yeah, I'll pay the tax happily. Right. Mm-hmm. We have no means to get better unless I spend a bunch of money this offseason. And he is going to put them $15 million into the tax to get Rudy Gay and upgrade at backup center with Hassan Whiteside. And they brought in Pascal as well, right, with that Warriors trade, right? So yep. They made some nice depth additions, which doesn't sound like much, but part of the reason they lost to the Clippers is they had some playoff injuries and their depth wasn't quite up enough for them to get over LA. So credit to the Jazz for finding ways and money to improve after a good season and being an expensive team. And they'll definitely be better if they can be healthier in the playoffs, right? They were the best team in the regular season by a fair amount. They have a legitimate home court advantage with that court. They could be an actual title contender this year if health withstands. And you're right, they have one of the best defensive and offensive players in basketball on their roster. Mike Conley is an Indianapolis native. So, of course, I'm going to love him as his career progresses. They are interesting to me, but I could not put them in my top five. But if they're the best team in the West, they're going to be very interesting. That is worthy of inclusion on this list.
All right, so go ahead and hit me with your number. Was it your fourth best team or fourth more, one of your four more interesting teams in the league?
I have a feeling you didn't even consider this team.
Okay.
The Los Angeles Clippers.
You're right. I did not.
Yes, I figured you did not. Can I tell you why?
Absolutely.
I was very into the Los Angeles Clippers. The last time we saw Paul George in a setting where he was the guy, well, I guess twice. Once he had the ball more than Russ was in 2018-19 in OKC. Russ was on that team, but yep. Paul George had the ball a lot. Paul George finished top three in MVP that year. 28 points per game, ridiculous shooting splits, led the league in steals, was one of his best passing seasons in the league. And then, of course, I covered him for forever in Indiana, where he was a four-time All-Star. Would have been five if the Team USA injury didn't happen. And got them, like you just mentioned, almost to the finals. You know, he even got the dap and respect from LeBron James at that point. Like, as the guy in a team, he is just an MF, right? He's just a dude that's hard to play against, hard to beat. And I'm really excited to be able to watch him in that setting again without Kawhi on this upcoming Clippers team. And I know that they'll definitely be worse than last year, but I love watching solo PG. I think that they got Eric Bledsoe back in a situation where he could be rejuvenated. And he's a better point guard than anyone they had, both especially on defense, but also handling the ball last year, mostly because I think Patrick Beverley is an extremely overrated defender. Justice Winslow, who you know very well, could be an interesting addition for them, could also be a nothing addition for them. And then they did well in the draft to get two interesting rookies. So they have a lot of stuff that I want to watch, which is improvement at point guard and interesting pieces that could actually elevate them when Kawhi's back. And I'm really excited because of who I am as a basketball watcher to watch Paul George lead a team by himself again.
All great reasons. And I'll be honest with you, you're so convincing that I might bump them into my honorable mention category because they do have some great players. Like we kind of look, I mean, being an Eastern Conference guy and being somebody that's based in Miami and has a lot of basketball to cover throughout the regular season, I don't watch nearly enough Clippers basketball as I should. And I probably have not been able to appreciate what Paul George was able to accomplish over the last year. Having said that, you've piqued my interest. I'm going to watch more Clippers. I'm going to make it a pointed interest of mine to watch more Clippers basketball because I think you're absolutely right that George perhaps falling under the radar as one of the greats of our time. And I think, you know, even looking back in the context of this past weekend, debating whether or not he's a Hall of Fame level player and, you know, kind of overlooking some really great individual seasons from him because, you know, the daunting shadow of that injury that you mentioned and the fact that he's never been able to get his teams to the finals and things of that sort. But he's a really good player, really fun to watch, really skilled, And you've got other players there that are very complimentary of him. If they can bounce back from injury, if Serge Ibaka can be healthy, if Reggie Jackson can be as good as he was last year in the playoffs, if Kawhi comes back, I mean, they're a contender. I think we're kind of overlooking the fact that he could potentially come back. There were some reports that he might bounce back a lot sooner than expected. If that's the case, well, hell, this is a pretty good team and one absolutely worth watching. So, I mean, a lot of reasons to watch the Clippers this year. You're absolutely right. They have, like I said, piqued my interest.
Yeah, Terrence Mann's fun too. Marcus Morris, you mentioned complimentary players. He's good. He's one of them. And Goggles Reggie Jackson was very good. Very good. Shout out to our Locked On Clippers folks for the Goggles Reggie Jackson shirts or stuff going on. They could also be extremely fun players around PG. So some of it's a little personal. I'll admit that, but I'm very excited about it.
Well, one thing you should always be excited about is the continued customer service of rockauto.com, a business, a family-owned business that's been operating for almost 2 decades, 20 years of service. You can't beat that. Look, you can go into a traditional chain storefront. They'll ask you questions about what part you're looking for. You have no idea if you're getting the right piece. They'll order for you. Maybe if they happen to have it in their warehouse. Why would you go through all that when you can just go to rockauto.com's easy to navigate website, find the piece that you're looking for, have it delivered directly and safely to your door. No fuss, no muss, no hassle whatsoever. And best of all, you can save money whether you're a mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer that's looking for the right parts for your car or truck. rockauto.com is the way to go. So get the piece that you're looking for, get the parts that you're looking for your car or truck at rockauto.com. And when you're done, go to the section that says, how did you hear about us? And write the phrase locked on so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com.
David, I had two teams that were really similarly close for my fifth spot. So I'm going to let you go first here. And if one of your choices is my fifth, I will talk about the other one and then we can get to honorable mentions.
You know, it is really tough. I've probably been a little bit higher on this team in the past than I should be, but I've got reasons to believe that they might be even better this year. And that's the Denver Nuggets.
Okay. Yeah. Not either of my two. This is good.
I'm just, for me, the question mark about who fills in for Jamal Murray certainly is one that I think is kind of hanging over this team in general, but just, I actually expect Nikola Jokic to be even better. I would say he's probably my front runner for MVP next season, just because I think he's going to take on that personal responsibility. We're seeing a maturation process with Jokic that I think we see from very few players. It's just understanding what's expected of him. And it's been a few years because just, I don't think it's ever been in his nature to be a dominant player like that. He's always been much more of an assist guy. What's the expression? You know, if I give somebody the assist, I make two people happy because somebody else scores and everything else like that. I think he's always had that kind of mentality. And then we've slowly seen him become much more aggressive, much more dominant in his own individual abilities while still incorporating abilities and playmaking abilities. And I think he's going to get even better. I think he understands what's at stake here, because not only is his own free agency looming in the distance there, but he understands that he has to be able to carry this team until Murray does come back at whatever point he does. And then I also like Aaron Gordon, because I think another year of Gordon understanding his role here, like last season, he was acquired in the midseason, wasn't sure what that trade would be like, wasn't sure what his role was going to be like. Of course, they wound up losing Murray. And this whole season basically goes down the drain from that point forward. But I think he's a player who's, you know, he can understand his role. He's intelligent enough. He's athletic enough. Even at this point in his career, I think he knows what's at stake here. This is an opportunity for him to prove that he can be a great NBA player. I think he's going to take on that challenge. And I think they're going to form a really nice tandem there. And if they've got other players there and other pieces and a long, more consistency too, like I mentioned for the Utah Jazz, Denver seems like one of those teams that's keeping it all together for the most part. And having said that, I think they're still going to have an advantage of playing in Denver. And I think they're going to be a lot more dominant this year than they were last year, when we had a lot of questions about what kind of team this would be.
Nuggets fans listening can come at me for being dumb for this, because I felt stupid putting the team with the MVP seventh in my interesting teams rankings. Like, Jokic, every game to something you're like, what, how did he do that? You know, like,
right.
You don't say that about a lot of guys. I know I just did that about Zion earlier too, but you know, it's special to watch. He's fascinating. They're going to be awesome. Another reason I guessed them up pretty high to seventh, Michael Porter Jr. is entering his third season. And he's had some injury stuff in the past, but like, a lot of guys explode in their third season who are young. And it's very possible that he's another one, right? He's one of the best shooters on the planet. Very good scorer, very talented. Now he'll have a much more expanded role with Murray out to start the season. He could be fascinating. And if he's really good, they'll definitely vault into my top five most interesting teams in the West, because they'll have two just studs. And then Jeff Green's a good addition for them. You're right about Aaron Gordon. I think with an offseason, you know, to work with the team in training camp and the coaching staff will really help him. They're certainly going to be very good. It's hard to be bad when you have Jokic, and they kept a lot of their key and important guys this summer. So the Nuggets are going to be very good and very fun to watch. They did not crack my top five interesting teams, ironically. Bones Highland, another guy that could crack them into my top five if he pans out this year, mostly because his name is Bones, which is awesome.
So who does round out your top five then?
I'll do the other team as an honorable mention here. My fifth team is the Portland Trailblazers. Are they on your list?
They are not.
Okay. So some of this is like the you can't look away from an accident kind of stuff going on, because there's a chance that they walk into the season with their new additions being Ben McLemore, Larry Nance, and Cody Zeller. And Dame's like, that's all you guys could get me. And then they start off, I'm just going to make up stuff, start off 9-10. And then Dame's like, well, you guys did nothing this summer, nothing substantial, and demands a trade. That would be interesting for a lot of reasons. But the flip side of that is, one, Larry Nance is really good, really good. Yeah. And it gives them the exact skills they've been missing for a long time. Covington was like just short of what they needed. I think Nance can do that stuff for them. So they could be awesome because of that alone, right? He's got a skill they've never had before. Cody Zeller is very good. Another indie guy, so I have to guess him up there. Ben McLemore gives them a bench shooting element they haven't had. They'll have an offseason to get Norm Powell into the fold and in the mix. And of course, since this is an interesting teams to watch ranking, Dame is like much watch TV. There's like 3 or 4 weeks every season where he's the best basketball player alive. Last year was that's even true. Longer than that. So that's always fascinating to watch. And because there's potential for something explosive, both in the good and bad direction, and there's some interesting new pieces that could either make them interesting in a good way or be the reason that their superstar says that wasn't enough, I have them fifth.
All good reasons. I don't know. Something about the Trailblazers depresses me. I'm not exactly sold on their offseason. I hear all your reasoning. I hear all of it, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, it's all going to tie in together. And then I think about the turmoil there, the fact that they just let Terry Stotts go. I don't know that Chauncey Billups is really equipped for the opportunity to handle this roster. I mean, you could kind of say, oh, maybe he'll be the player's coach to kind of just let him play and figure it out. And when you've got another worldly talent like Dame on there, obviously that's going to work out for you. But it's not enough. Like, something has to click there. And you've got these big questions about CJ McCollum being traded or Dame being traded or asking or demanding a trade. Even his very cryptic not yet response on, what is it, on Instagram or something like that. Like, that just kind of says, I'm just biding my time to see whether or not they start off as well as they possibly could, or if they don't and you know, they crap the bed, then asking his way out. And if that's the case, then that's just no fun for me to watch. But maybe, you know, maybe the flip side of that, as you pointed out, is, you know, it's a train wreck waiting to happen. And if that's the case, that there is an element of interest there. I could see how it all plays out. And you're right about Lillard. There's always that time period there where he's like, huh, why isn't he in the MVP conversation? It's because usually the team isn't very good. Of course, he's viewed as mostly a one-way player, but that one way, a pretty damn fun ride, I think.
Yeah, well, I didn't even mention their just disastrous coaching process of hire this summer and how that could bleed into their season. And for me in the intrigue too, maybe this is like, because I saw it, maybe, and look, Paul George has never said this, and this has never been reported. This is just something I've processed in my head. But let's go back to 2016 Pacers so I can talk about the Blazers. Right? Paul George was coming up on the Supermax and his free agency's coming up. So the Pacers know, you know, if we're going to have to trade him, it's going to be soon. And their free agency that summer was like Al Jefferson, Thaddeus Young, and Jeff Teague. You think Paul George came back with 1 year left on his deal? And he was like, that's it. You know, that's the improved stuff. You know, and those guys were better. They were an okay team that year. And Jeff Teague actually played pretty well for them. Thad was a staple for a while on the Pacers. But like, you know, you're Paul George. You want to see the big name come in the door, or the big trade happen, right, whatever it is. So, I don't know how Dame feels about his situation. You know, you're right about the cryptic stuff. So I wonder if he's like, at what point in the season do you go, that's it. You know, that's what you did. So they're interesting to me because they could have awesome upward stuff and they have a ton of downside risk. And it's like watching the train crash, right? You can't look away.
Right.
Give me your fifth team.
Oh, no, that was my, well, I think Denver was my fifth team. Actually, I went through.
Oh, you've done five already. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all done. I think we're entering honorable mention territory here.
Sure. Sure. Well, I can't believe that. I'm assuming you have this as an honorable mention. The Mavs have to be an honorable mention, right?
I am not a Jason Kidd fan. Anybody listening to this show for a long time. So I'm not exactly sure how much I want to watch. Yes. The Luka Doncic factor.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Right.
That's always fun. Yeah. Okay. I'll watch for Luka and hopefully they won't pan to the sidelines.
For the same reason I snapped the Nuggets right outside the top five, because the Jokic is incredible. And you just like as many times as you can every week, you want to try to watch, you know, Luka, Jokic, whatever. They were one of my honorable mentions as well. Similar reasons, the Suns, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. I mean, that's always going to be a blast to watch as well.
Memphis, I think, is a team that's interesting. I mean, Ja Morant, but who knows where they're at in terms of their progression, right? I mean, are they taking a step back this past offseason when they make that trade? They're so hard to read. But then I've been a big Jaren Jackson fan. I think he can take a step up there, and I'm wondering how that all plays out. They always seem like they're one of those teams that's right on the cusp of being really great and really fun, and hopefully they can tie it all together. Is there any one team in the Western Conference that you have no interest in watching? I'll pose that question for you.
There's only one, and it's the San Antonio Spurs.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen some people say that they're extremely high on the Spurs. So what's your rationale for them not being good?
You know, they don't have DeRozan anymore. And I actually think DeRozan's good. Apparently in media circles, I'm like the only person left who thinks DeRozan is good. Yeah, apparently. So their young guys are interesting. Like DeJounte Murray is good. You know, there were rumblings about like the seventh pick from the Warriors for him as a trade thing this summer. I think, I don't know if that was ever legit or not, but that's around the value of a good young player. And Derek White's kind of cool and good, and Vassell will get there, but not this year. I don't think they're going to be that interesting or fun for me this year.
The slander for gold medalist Keldon Johnson and Al-Farouq Aminu will not be tolerated on this.
I know they have Doug McDermott and Thad Young, so Pacers fans are going to be all over
for now, right? That's the big question for me. Is like, are they waving Young? Is he going to get bought out? What's the question there? But I also, I'm of curiosity. I think this puts Pop in the right position here. Like I've criticized him in the past because like it's always easy to look like a generational type coach when you have generational players on your roster. And now you have to go through the process of kind of, well, rebuilding and developing players and seeing what you can get out of these young guys that we don't know what you can get out of. This is might be the most challenging season of his career. And that usually puts guys in the position to succeed because they want to prove I wasn't just coasting on in the coattails of guys like Tim Duncan and others. So I wonder how Pop responds, especially after a summer of having coached incredible talent with the USA team.
Yeah, that's going to be the most interesting storyline for me with the Spurs is can they be good enough for Popovich to win 26 games? That is how many he needs to become the winningest coach of all time. Are they good enough for 26? Yeah, I'd say so. 26 is not a high bar to clear, but I don't think they're that interesting. And De'Aaron Fox saved the Kings from also being in my not interesting teams. I don't know if you have any uninteresting West teams.
I do not know. The Kings are usually just hard for me to stay up for. I mean, if I'm going to stay up for a West Coast team, it's probably not going to be safe.
There's usually a better one than watching Sacramento. Yes, I agree. But De'Aaron Fox is electric. Same reason Shea saved the Thunder and Cat saved the Wolves. And the Rockets have like 1,000 cool young players now. So maybe they'll be fun. It's so the quick turn from the Rockets of last year's offseason to this year's of like intrigue is fascinating. Like totally different team. It's wild how fast they did that.
Yep.
Credit to them.
All right. This was fun, man. I really enjoyed having you as a co-host for the last couple of weeks and going through these interesting teams. I think as we're just a few weeks away from training camp starting and the preseason kicking off, I mean, some news going around the league that we probably should have gone to, but we didn't as far as potential rule changes and things of that sort and using the coach's challenge to overturn an out-of-bounds play in the waning minutes of the game. That could probably have some incredible impact here, but it's going to be overall, as always, a really fun season. If you're listening to this podcast, you love basketball without a doubt. And I think we've given a lot of teams that are a lot of fun to watch with so many questions. Even if those teams that were quote unquote bad in our opinion, I think have something worth watching there. So while they might not be, it's impossible to watch all 30 teams as religiously as most people would like. And yet every team has fans and every team has some really interesting issues moving forward next season, some storylines, some players that could potentially break out. It could be a lot of fun for, you know, it's fun. It's just it. This is the best league and the best sport.
I can't wait. You know, we really ran through both conferences and there are only like three teams in the whole league that I'm like, yeah, you know what? I don't know if I'm ever going to tune into you that often this season. So that's pretty rare, right? Usually there's like 5 to 10 teams that are obviously not trying to contend or have something going on. But this year, a lot of teams are trying to get better over last year. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. And it's weird that I can't wait because this is the first time since like last July we've actually had a gap in the NBA schedule. And I was looking forward to having time off, and now I have time off and I'm like, okay, I'm ready for the NBA to be back.
Absolutely.
I'm on Twitter at TEastNBA and I host Locked On Pacers. If you want the latest and greatest on the Indiana Pacers that have had quite a bit of injury news since you last heard me hosting this podcast with David on Tuesdays. David is of course on Twitter at DRamil13. You can find his work of course also over at Locked On Heat. We had a very interesting offseason and lots to talk about there. David, you got anything else you want to say today?
No, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of great talk around the NBA, and I'm looking forward to next week's show.
Tomorrow, Jake Madison, John Corrales back for their usual Wednesday extravaganza. Come back for that. Thank you for listening to Locked On NBA. We'll be back tomorrow.